So when Tou heard that David had defeated Hadadezer's whole army, he sent his son Hadoram to congratulate David on his victory. Hadoram also brought him gifts made of gold, silver, and bronze. David gave these gifts to the Lord, just as he had done with the silver and gold he had captured from Edom, Moab, Ammon, Philistia, and Amalek. Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, defeated the Edomite army in Salt Valley and killed 18,000 of their troops. Then he stationed troops in Edom, and the people there had to accept David as their ruler. Everywhere David went, the Lord gave him victory in war. A list of David's officials. David ruled all Israel with fairness and justice. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was the commander-in-chief of the army. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, kept the government records. Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were the priests. Shavsha was the secretary. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was the commander of David's bodyguard. David's sons were his highest-ranking officials. Israel fights Ammon and Syria. Chapter 19. Sometime later, King Nahash of Ammon died, and his son Hanan became king. David said, "Nahash was kind to me, so I will be kind to his son." He sent some officials to Ammon to tell Hanan how sorry he was that his father had died. But when David's officials arrived at Ammon, the Ammonite leaders said to Hanan, "Do you really believe King David is honoring your father by sending these men to comfort you? He probably sent them to spy on our country so he can come and destroy it." Hanan arrested David's officials and had their beards shaved off and their robes cut off just below the waist, and then he sent them away. They were terribly ashamed. When David found out what had happened to his officials, he sent a message that told them, "Stay in Jericho until your beards grow back. Then you can come home." The Ammonites realized they had made David furious. So they paid over 30 tons of silver to hire chariot troops from Mesopotamia and from the Syrian kingdoms of Maacah and Zobah. 32,000 troops, as well as the king of Maacah and his army, came and camped near Medeba. The Ammonite troops also left their towns and came to prepare for battle. David heard what was happening, and he sent out Joab with his army. The Ammonite troops marched to the entrance of the city and prepared for battle, while the Syrian troops took their positions in the open fields. Joab saw that the enemy troops were lined up on both sides of him. So he picked some of the best Israelite soldiers to fight the Syrians. Then he put his brother Abishai in command of the rest of the army and told them to fight against the Ammonites. Joab told his brother, "If the Syrians are too much for me to handle, come and help me. And if the Ammonites are too strong for you, I'll come and help you. Be brave and fight hard to protect our people and the towns of our Lord God. I pray he will do whatever pleases him." Joab and his soldiers attacked the Syrians, and the Syrians ran from them. When the Ammonite troops saw that the Syrians had run away, they ran from Abishai's soldiers and went back into their own city. Joab then returned to Jerusalem. As soon as the Syrians realized they had been defeated, they sent for their troops that were stationed on the other side of the Euphrates River. Shophak, the commander of Hadadezer's army, led these troops to Ammon. David found out what the Syrians were doing, and he brought Israel's entire army together. They crossed the Jordan River, and he commanded them to take their positions facing the Syrian troops. Soon after the fighting began, the Syrians ran from Israel. David killed 7,000 chariot troops and 40,000 regular soldiers. He also killed Shophak, their commander. When the kings who had been under Hadadezer's rule saw that Israel had defeated them, they made peace with David and accepted him as their new ruler. The Syrians never helped the Ammonites again. The End of the War with Ammon. Chapter 20. The next spring, the time when kings go to war, Joab marched out in command of the Israelite army and destroyed towns all over the country of Ammon. He attacked the capital city of Rabbah and left it in ruins. But David stayed in Jerusalem. Later, David himself went to Rabbah, where he took the crown from the statue of their god Milcom. The crown was made of 75 pounds of gold, and there was a valuable jewel on it. David put the jewel on his crown, then carried off everything else of value. He forced the people of Rabbah to work with saws, iron picks, and axes. He also did the same thing with the people in all the other Ammonite towns. David then led Israel's army back to Jerusalem. The Descendants of the Rephaim. Sometime later, Israel fought a battle against the Philistines at Gezer. During this battle, Sibbecai from Husha killed Sippai, a descendant of the Rephaim, and the Philistines were defeated. In another battle against the Philistines, Elhanan, the son of Jair, killed Lamai, the brother of Goliath from Gath, whose spear shaft was like a weaver's beam. Another one of the Philistine soldiers who was a descendant of the Rephaim was as big as a giant and had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot. During a battle at Gath, he made fun of Israel, so David's nephew Jonathan killed him. David and his soldiers killed these 3 men from Gath who were descendants of the Rephaim.
David counts the people. Chapter 21. Satan decided to cause trouble for Israel by making David think it was a good idea to find out how many people there were in Israel and Judah. David told Joab and the army commanders, "Count everyone in Israel, from the town of Beersheba in the south, all the way north to Dan. Then I will know how many people can serve in my army." Joab answered, "Your Majesty, even if the Lord made your kingdom 100 times larger, you would still rule everyone in it. Why do you need to know how many soldiers there are? Don't you think that would make the whole nation angry?" But David would not change his mind, and so Joab went everywhere in Israel and Judah and counted the people. He returned to Jerusalem and told David that the total number of men who could serve in the army was 1,100,000 in Israel and 470,000 in Judah. Joab refused to include anyone from the tribes of Levi and Benjamin because he still disagreed with David's orders. God punishes Israel. David's order to count the people made God angry, and he punished Israel. David prayed, "I am your servant, but what I did was stupid and terribly wrong. Please forgive me." The Lord said to Gad, one of David's prophets, "Tell David that I will punish him in one of three ways, but he will have to choose which one it will be." Gad went to David and told him, "You must choose how the Lord will punish you. Will there be 3 years when the land won't grow enough food for its people? Or will your enemies constantly defeat you for 3 months? Or will the Lord send a horrible disease to strike your land for 3 days? Think about it and decide, because I have to give your answer to God who sent me." David was miserable and said, "It's a terrible choice to make. But the Lord is kind, and I'd rather have him punish me than for anyone else to do it." So the Lord sent a horrible disease on Israel, and 70,000 Israelites died. Then he sent an angel to destroy the city of Jerusalem, but just as the angel was about to do that, the Lord felt sorry for all the suffering he had caused the people, and he told the angel, "Stop. They have suffered enough." This happened at the threshing place that belonged to Araunah the Jebusite. David saw the Lord's angel in the air holding a sword over Jerusalem. He and the leaders of Israel, who were all wearing sackcloth, bowed with their faces to the ground, and David prayed, "It's my fault. I sinned by ordering the people to be counted. They have done nothing wrong. They are innocent sheep. Lord God, please punish me and my family. Don't let the disease wipe out your people." David buys Araunah's threshing place. The Lord's angel told the prophet Gad to tell David that he must go to Araunah's threshing place and build an altar in honor of the Lord. David followed the Lord's instructions. Araunah and his four sons were threshing wheat at the time, and when they saw the angel, the four sons ran to hide. Just then David arrived, and when Araunah saw him, he stopped his work and bowed down. David said, "Would you sell me your threshing place so I can build an altar on it to the Lord? Then this disease will stop killing the people. I'm willing to pay whatever you say it's worth." Araunah answered, "Take it, Your Majesty, and do whatever you want with it. I'll even give you the oxen for the sacrifice and the wheat for the grain sacrifice, and you can use the threshing boards for the fire. It's all yours." But David replied, "No, I want to pay you what they're worth. I can't just take something from you and then offer the Lord a sacrifice that cost me nothing." So David paid Araunah 600 gold coins for his threshing place. David built an altar and offered sacrifices to please the Lord, and sacrifices to ask his blessing. David prayed, and the Lord answered him by sending fire down on the altar. Then the Lord commanded the angel to put the sword away. When David saw that the Lord had answered his prayer, he offered more sacrifices there at the threshing place, because he was afraid of the angel's sword and did not want to go all the way to Gibeon. That's where the sacred tent that Moses had made in the desert was kept, as well as the altar where sacrifices were offered to the Lord. Chapter 22. David said, "The temple of the Lord God must be built right here at this threshing place, and the altar for offering sacrifices will also be here." David prepares to build the temple. David ordered the foreigners living in Israel to come to Jerusalem. Then he assigned some to cut blocks of stone for building the temple. He got a large supply of iron to make into nails and hinges for the doors, and he provided so much bronze that it could not be weighed. He also had cedar logs brought in from the cities of Sidon and Tyre. He said, "The temple for the Lord must be great, so that everyone in the world will know about it. But since my son Solomon is young and has no experience, I will make sure that everything is ready for the temple to be built." That's why David did all these things before he died. David instructs Solomon to build the temple. David sent for his son Solomon and told him to build a temple for the Lord God of Israel. He said, "My son, I wanted to build a temple where the Lord my God would be worshipped. But some time ago, he told me, 'David, you have killed too many people and have fought too many battles. That's why you are not the one to build my temple. But when your son becomes king, I will give him peace throughout his kingdom. His name will be Solomon, because during his rule I will keep Israel safe and peaceful. Solomon will build my temple. He will be like a son to me, and I will be like a father to him. In fact, one of his descendants will always rule in Israel. Solomon, my son, I now pray that the Lord your God will be with you and keep his promise to help you build a temple for him. May he give you wisdom and knowledge so that you can rule Israel according to his law. If you obey the laws and teachings that the Lord gave Moses, you will be successful. Be strong and brave, and don't get discouraged or be afraid of anything. I have all the supplies you'll need to build the temple. You have 4,000 tons of gold and 40,000 tons of silver. There's also plenty of wood, stone, and more bronze and iron than I could weigh. Ask for anything else you need. I have also assigned men who will cut and lay the stone. And there are carpenters and people who are experts in working with gold, silver, bronze, and iron. You have plenty of workers to do the job. Now get started, and I pray that the Lord will be with you in your work." David then gave orders for the leaders of Israel to help Solomon. David said, "The Lord our God has helped me defeat all the people who lived here before us, and he has given you peace from all your enemies. Now this land belongs to the Lord and his people. Obey the Lord your God with your heart and soul. Begin work on the temple to honor him, so that the sacred chests and the things used for worship can be kept there."
David assigns the Levites their duties. Chapter 23. David was old when he chose his son Solomon to be king of Israel. Sometime later, David called together all of Israel's leaders, priests, and Levites. He then counted the Levite men who were at least 30 years old, and the total was 38,000. He said, 24,000 of the Levites will be in charge of the temple. 6,000 will be temple officials and judges. 4,000 will be guards at the temple. And 4,000 will praise the Lord by playing the musical instruments I have given them. David then divided the Levites into three groups according to the clans of Levi's sons: Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Gershon had two sons, Ladan and Shimei. Ladan was the father of Jehiel, Zetham, and Joel. They were all family leaders among their father's descendants. Shimei was the father of Shelomoth, Haziel, and Haran. Later, Shimei had four more sons in the following order: Jahath, Zina, Jeush, and Beriah. But Jeush and Beriah didn't have many children, so their descendants were counted as one family. Kohath had four sons: Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Aziel. Amram was the father of Aaron and Moses. Aaron and his descendants were chosen to be in charge of all the sacred things. They served the Lord by offering sacrifices to him and by blessing the people in his name. Moses, the man of God, was the father of Gershom and Eliezer, and their descendants were considered Levites. Gershom's oldest son was Shebuel. Rehabiah, who was Eliezer's only son, had many children. The second son born to Kohath was Izhar, and his oldest son was Shelomith. Hebron, the third son of Kohath, was the father of Jeriah, Amariah, Jehaziel, and Jechamiam. Kohath's youngest son, Aziel, was the father of Micah and Ishiah. Merari had two sons, Mahlai and Mushai. Mahlai was the father of Eleazar and Kish. Eleazar had no sons, only daughters, and they married their uncle's sons. Mushai, the second son of Merari, was the father of Mahlai, Eder, and Jerimoth. These were the clans and families of the tribe of Levi. Those who were 20 years and older were assigned to work at the Lord's temple. David said, "The Lord God of Israel has given his people peace, and he will live in Jerusalem forever." And so the Levites won't need to move the sacred tent and the things used for worship from place to place. From now on, all Levites at least 20 years old will serve the Lord by helping Aaron's descendants do their work at the temple, by keeping the courtyards and rooms of the temple clean, and by making sure that everything used in worship stays pure. They will also be in charge of the sacred loaves of bread, the flour for the grain sacrifices, the thin wafers, any offerings to be baked, and the flour mixed with olive oil. These Levites will weigh and measure these offerings. Every morning and evening, the Levites are to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to him. They must also give thanks and sing praises when sacrifices are offered on each Sabbath, as well as during new moon festivals and other religious feasts. There must always be enough Levites on duty at the temple to do everything that needs to be done. They were once in charge of taking care of the sacred tent. Now they are responsible for the temple and for helping Aaron's descendants. David assigns the priests their duties. Chapter 24. Aaron's descendants were then divided into work groups. Aaron had four sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died long before their father without having any sons. That's why Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests. David divided Aaron's descendants into groups according to their assigned work. Zadok, one of Eleazar's descendants, and Ahimelech, one of Ithamar's descendants, helped David. Eleazar's descendants were divided into 16 groups, and Ithamar's were divided into 8 groups, because Eleazar's family included more family leaders. However, both families included temple officials and priests, and so to make sure the work was divided fairly, David asked God what to do. As each group was assigned their duties, Shemaiah, the son of Nathanael the Levite, wrote down the name of the family leader in charge of that group. The witnesses were David and his officials, as well as Zadok the priest, Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, and the family leaders from the clans of the priests and the Levites. Each group of priests went by the name of its family leader, and they were assigned their duties in the following order: Jehoiarib, Jedaiah, Harim, Seorim, Malchijah, Mijamin, Hakoz, Abijah, Jeshua, Shechaniah, Eliashib, Jakim, Huppah, Jeshebiab, Bilgah, Immer, Hezer, Hapazez, Pethahiah, Jehezkel, Jakin, Gamal, Deleah, Maaziah. These men were assigned their duties at the temple, just as the Lord God of Israel had commanded their ancestor Aaron. The rest of the Levites are assigned their duties. Here is a list of the other descendants of Levi. Amram was the ancestor of Shubael and Jediah. Rehabiah was the ancestor of Ishiah, the oldest son in his family. Izhar was the father of Shelomith and the grandfather of Jahath. Hebron had four sons in the following order: Jeriah, Amariah, Jehaziel, and Jechoniam. Aziel was the father of Micah and the grandfather of Shamer. Ishiah, Micah's brother, was the father of Zechariah. Merari was the father of Mahlai, Mushai, and Jaaziah. Jaaziah had three sons, Shoham, Zachar, and Ibri. Mahlai was the father of Eleazar and Kish. Eleazar had no sons, but Kish was the father of Jeramiel. Mushai had three sons, Mahlai, Eder, and Jeremoth. These were the descendants of Levi according to their clans. Each one was assigned his duties in the same way that their relatives, the priests, had been assigned their duties. David, Zadok, Ahimelech, and the family leaders of the priests and Levites were the witnesses. David assigns the temple musicians their duties. Chapter 25. David and the temple officials chose the descendants of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun to be in charge of music. They were to praise the Lord by playing cymbals, harps, and other stringed instruments. Here is a list of the musicians and their duties. Asaph's four sons, Zachar, Joseph, Nethaniah, and Asarela, were under the direction of their father and played music whenever the king told them to. Jeduthun's six sons, Gedaliah, Zerai, Jeshaiah, Shimei, Hashabiah, and Mattathiah, were under the direction of their father and played harps and sang praises to the Lord. Heman had 14 sons: Bekiah, Mattaniah, Aziel, Shebuel, Jeremoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Eliatha, Gedaltai, Romamtiezer, Joshbekeshah, Malathai, Hother, Mahazioth. Heman was one of the king's prophets, and God honored Heman by giving him 14 sons and 3 daughters. His sons were under his direction and played cymbals, harps, and other stringed instruments during times of worship at the temple. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman took their orders directly from the king. There were 288 of these men, and all of them were skilled musicians. David assigned them their duties by asking the Lord what he wanted. Everyone was responsible for something, whether young or old, teacher or student. The musicians were divided into 24 groups of 12, and each group went by the name of their family leader. They were assigned their duties in the following order: Joseph, Gedaliah, Zachar, Zerai, Nethaniah, Bakiah, Asarela, Jeshaiah, Mattaniah, Shimei, Aziel, Hashabiah, Shebuel, Mattathiah, Jeremoth, Hananiah, Joshbekasha, Hanani, Malathi, Eliatha, Hother, Gedaltai, Mahazioth, and Romamtiezer. The temple guards are assigned their duties. Chapter 26. The temple guards were also divided into groups according to clans. Meshelemiah, son of Kori, was from the Korah clan and was a descendant of Asaph. He had 7 sons, who were born in the following order: Zechariah, Jediael, Zebediah, Jathniel, Elam, Jehohanan, and Elihoenai. Obed-Edom had been blessed with 8 sons: Shemaiah, Jehozabad, Joah, Sakar, Nathanael, Amiel, Issachar, and Peulathai. Shemaiah was the father of Othni, Rephael, Obed, Elzabad, Elihu, and Semachiah. They were all respected leaders in their clan. There were 62 descendants of Obed-Edom who were strong enough to be guards at the temple. 18 descendants of Meshelemiah were chosen for this work. Hosa, from the Merari clan, was the father of Shimri, Hilkiah, Tebaliah, and Zechariah. Hosa had made Shimri the family leader, even though he was not the oldest son. 13 men from Hosa's family were chosen to be temple guards. The guards were divided into groups according to their family leaders, and they were assigned duties at the temple just like the other Levites. Each group, no matter how large or small, was assigned a gate to guard, and they let the Lord show them what he wanted done. Shelemiah was chosen to guard the east gate. Zechariah, his son, was a wise man and was chosen to guard the north gate. Obed-Edom was then chosen to guard the south gate, and his sons were chosen to guard the storerooms. Shuppim and Hosa were chosen to guard the west gate and the Shalaketh gate on the upper road. The guards were assigned the following work schedule. Each day, 6 guards were on duty on the east side of the temple, 4 were on duty on the north side, and 4 were on duty on the south side. 2 guards were stationed at each of the 2 storerooms, 4 were stationed along the road leading to the west courtyard, and 2 guards stayed in the court itself. These were the guard duties assigned to the men from the clans of Korah and Merari. Guards are assigned to the treasury. The Levites, who were relatives of the Korahites and the Merarites, were in charge of guarding the temple treasury and the gifts that had been dedicated to God. Laden was from the Gershon clan and was the father of Jehieli. Many of his other descendants were family leaders in the clan. Jehieli was the father of Zetham and Joel, and they were responsible for guarding the treasury. Other guards at the treasury were from the Kohathite clans of Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Aziel. Shebuel was a descendant of Gershom, the son of Moses. He was the chief official in charge of the temple treasury. The descendants of Gershom's brother, Eliezer, included Rehabiah, Jeshaiah, Joram, Zichri, and Shalomoth. Shalomoth and his relatives were in charge of all the gifts that were dedicated to the Lord. These included the gifts that King David had dedicated, as well as those dedicated by the family leaders, army officers, and army commanders. And whenever valuable things were captured in battle, these men brought some of them to the temple. Shalomoth and his relatives were responsible for any gifts that had been given to the temple, including those from Samuel the prophet, King Saul, the son of Kish, Abner, the son of Ner, and Joab, the son of Zeruiah. Other officers are assigned their duties. Kenaniah from the Izhar clan and his sons were government officials and judges. They did not work at the temple. Hashabiah from the Hebron clan and 1,700 of his skilled relatives were the officials in charge of all religious and government business in the Israelite territories west of the Jordan River. Jerijah was the leader of the Hebron clan. David assigned him and 2,700 of his relatives, who were all respected family leaders, to be the officials in charge of all religious and government business in the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh. David found out about these men during the 40th year of his rule, when he had a list made of all the families in the Hebron clan. They were from the town of Jazer, in the territory of Gilead. David assigns army commanders. Chapter 27. Each month, a group of 24,000 men served as soldiers in Israel's army. These men, which included the family leaders, army commanders, and officials of the king, were under the command of the following men, arranged by the month of their service. In the first month, Jashobeam, the son of Zabdiel, a descendant of Perez. In the second month, Dodai the Ahohite, whose assistant was Mikloth. In the third month, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, who was the leader of the 30 warriors, and whose son Amizabad was also an army commander. In the fourth month, Asahel, the brother of Joab, whose son Zebadiah took over command after him. In the fifth month, Shamhuth from the Isra clan. In the sixth month, Ira, the son of Ikesh from Tekoa. In the seventh month, Helez from Pelon in the territory of Ephraim. In the eighth month, Sibbekai from Husha of the Zerah clan. In the ninth month, Abiezer from Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. In the tenth month, Meharai from Netophah of the Zerah clan. In the 11th month, Benaiah from Pirathon in the territory of Ephraim. In the 12th month, Heldai from Netophah, who was a descendant of Othniel. David assigns tribal leaders. Here is a list of the leaders of each tribe in Israel. Eliezer, son of Zichri, was over Reuben. Shephatiah, son of Maacah, was over Simeon. Hashabiah, son of Kemuel, was over the Levites, and Zadok the priest was over the descendants of Aaron. Elihu, the brother of David, was over Judah. Omri, son of Michael, was over Issachar. Ishmaiah, son of Obadiah, was over Zebulun. Jeremoth, son of Azrael, was over Naphtali. Hoshea, son of Azaziah, was over Ephraim. Joel, son of Pedaiah, was over West Manasseh. Iddo, son of Zechariah, was over East Manasseh. Jaasiel, son of Abner, was over Benjamin. Azarel, son of Jeroham, was over Dan. When David decided to count the people of Israel, he gave orders not to count anyone under 20 years of age, because the Lord had promised long ago that Israel would have as many people as there are stars in the sky. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, had begun to count the people, but he stopped when the Lord began punishing Israel. So the total number was never included in David's official records. Officials in charge of the king's property. Asmaveth, the son of Adiel, was in charge of the king's personal storage rooms. Jonathan, the son of Uzziah, was in charge of the king's other storerooms that were in the towns, the villages, and the defense towers in Israel. Ezrai, the son of Kelub, was in charge of the workers who farmed the king's land. Shimei from Ramah was in charge of the vineyards, and Zabdi from Shepham was in charge of storing the wine. Baal-Hanan from Gedor was in charge of the olive and sycamore trees in the western foothills, and Joash was in charge of storing the olive oil. Shitrai from Sharon was responsible for the cattle that were kept in Sharon Plain, and Shaphat, son of Adlai, was responsible for those kept in the valleys. Obil, the Ishmaelite, was in charge of the camels. Jadia, from Moronoth, was in charge of the donkeys, and Jaziz, the Hagrite, was in charge of the sheep and goats. These were the men in charge of David's royal property. David's personal advisors. David's uncle, Jonathan, was a wise and intelligent advisor. He and Jehiel, the son of Hachmonai, taught David's sons. Ahithophel and Hushai, the Archite, were two of David's advisors. Jehoiada, the son of Benaiah, was the king's advisor after Ahithophel, and later Abiathar was his advisor. Joab was commander of Israel's army.
David gives Solomon the plans for the temple. Chapter 28. David called a meeting in Jerusalem for all of Israel's leaders, including the tribal leaders, the government officials, the army commanders, the officials in charge of the royal property and livestock, the palace officials, and the brave warriors. After everyone was there, David stood up and said, "Listen to me, my people. I wanted to build a place where the sacred chest would be kept, so we could go there and worship the Lord our God. I have prepared all the supplies for building a temple. But the Lord has refused to let me build it, because he said, 'I have killed too many people in battle.' The Lord God chose Judah to be the leading tribe in Israel. Then from Judah, he chose my father's family. And from that family, he chose me to be the king of Israel, and he promised that my descendants will also rule as kings. The Lord has blessed me with many sons, but he chose my son Solomon to be the next king of Israel. The Lord said to me, 'Your son Solomon will build my temple, and it will honor me. Solomon will be like a son to me, and I will be like a father to him. If he continues to obey my laws and commands, his kingdom will never end.' My friends, you are the Lord's people. And now, with God as your witness, I want you to promise that you will do your best to obey everything the Lord God has commanded us. Then this land will always belong to you and your descendants. Solomon, my son, worship God and obey him with all your heart and mind, just as I have done. He knows all your thoughts and your reasons for doing things, and so if you turn to him, he will hear your prayers. But if you ignore him, he will reject you forever. The Lord has chosen you to build a temple for worshiping him. Be confident and do the work you have been assigned." After David finished speaking, he gave Solomon the plans for building the main rooms of the temple, including the porch, the storerooms, the rooms upstairs and downstairs, as well as the most holy place. He gave Solomon his plans for the courtyards and the open areas around the temple, and for the rooms to store the temple treasures and gifts that had been dedicated to God. David also gave Solomon his plans for dividing the priests and the Levites into groups, as well as for the work that needed to be done at the temple, and for taking care of the objects used for worship. He told Solomon how much gold and silver was to be used in making the sacred objects, including the lampstands and lamps, the gold table which held the sacred loaves of bread, the tables made of silver, the meat forks, the bowls and cups, the gold incense altar, and the gold statue of a chariot for the winged creatures which were on the lid of the sacred chest. David then said to Solomon, "The Lord showed me how this temple is to be built, but you must see that everything is done according to these plans. Be confident and never be afraid of anything or get discouraged. The Lord my God will help you do everything needed to finish the temple, so it can be used for worshiping him. The priests and Levites have been assigned their duties, and all the skilled workers are prepared to do their work. The people and their leaders will do anything you tell them." Gifts for building the temple. Chapter 29. David told the crowd, "God chose my son Solomon to build the temple, but Solomon is young and has no experience. This is not just any building, this is the temple for the Lord God. That's why I have done my best to get everything Solomon will need to build it. Gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, onyx, turquoise, colored gems, all kinds of precious stones and marble. Besides doing all that, I have promised to give part of my own gold and silver as a way of showing my love for God's temple. Almost 120 tons of my finest gold and over 250 tons of my silver will be used to decorate its walls and to make the gold and silver objects. Now, who else will show their dedication to the Lord by giving gifts for building his temple? After David finished speaking, the family leaders, the tribal leaders, the army commanders, and the government officials voluntarily gave gifts for the temple. These gifts included almost 200 tons of gold, 380 tons of silver, almost 700 tons of bronze, and 3,750 tons of iron. Everyone who owned precious stones also donated them to the temple treasury, where Jehiel, from the Levite clan of Gershon, guarded them. David and the people were very happy that so much had been given to the Lord, and they all celebrated. David praises the Lord. Then, in front of everyone, David sang praises to the Lord. I praise you forever, Lord. You are the God our ancestor Jacob worshipped. Your power is great, and your glory is seen everywhere in heaven and on earth. You are king of the entire world, and you rule with strength and power. You make people rich and powerful and famous. We thank you, our God, and praise you. But why should we be happy that we have given you these gifts? They belong to you, and we have only given back what is already yours. We are only foreigners living here on earth for a while, just as our ancestors were, and we will soon be gone, like a shadow that suddenly disappears. Our Lord God, we have brought all these things for building a temple to honor you. They belong to you, and you gave them to us. But we are happy because everyone has voluntarily given you these things. You know what is in everyone's heart, and you are pleased when people are honest. Always make us eager to give, and help us be faithful to you, just as our ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob faithfully worshipped you. And give Solomon the desire to completely obey your laws and teachings, and the desire to build the temple for which I have provided these gifts. David then said to the people, Now it's your turn to praise the Lord, the God your ancestors worshipped. So everyone praised the Lord, and they bowed down to honor him and David their king. Solomon is crowned king. The next day the Israelites slaughtered 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, and they offered them as sacrifices to please the Lord, along with offerings of wine. The people were very happy, and they ate and drank there at the Lord's altar. That same day, Solomon was crowned king. The people celebrated and poured olive oil on Solomon's head to show that he would be their next king. They also poured oil on Zadok's head to show that he was their priest. So Solomon became king after David his father. Solomon was successful, and everyone in Israel obeyed him. Every official and every soldier, as well as all of David's other sons, were loyal to him. The Lord made Solomon a great king, and the whole nation was amazed at how famous he was. In fact, no other king of Israel was as great as Solomon. David dies. David, the son of Jesse, was king of Israel for 40 years. He ruled from Hebron for 7 years and from Jerusalem for 33 years. David was rich and respected and lived to be an old man. Then he died, and his son Solomon became king. Everything David did while he was king is included in the history written by the prophets Samuel, Nathan, and Gad. They wrote about his powerful rule and about the things that happened not only to him, but also to Israel and the other nations.
This ends 1 Chronicles. And now, 2 Chronicles.
Second Chronicles. About this book. Second Chronicles continues the history of Israel that was begun in First Chronicles. This book repeats information and many stories that are in First and Second Kings, but from a slightly different viewpoint. The book of Second Chronicles begins with the rule of King Solomon, then tells the history of the two separate kingdoms of Judah and Israel, down to the fall of Jerusalem in 586 B.C. King Solomon is honored as the ideal king of Israel. The first part of Second Chronicles includes events from his rule, especially the building and dedication of the temple in Jerusalem and the beginning of worship there. The second part of the book begins with the rebellion of the northern tribes of Israel and the division of the country into two separate kingdoms, Judah in the south and Israel in the north. This part of Second Chronicles is the history of Judah down to the time of Jerusalem's fall and destruction. Unlike Second Kings, the book of Second Chronicles includes very little information about the northern kingdom. According to Second Chronicles, the people of Israel were sinful and turned their backs on the Lord, and so their history did not deserve to be told. Second Chronicles, like First Chronicles, is very concerned that the Lord be worshipped in the proper way. Hezekiah and Josiah are two of the most respected kings of Judah, because they were always faithful to the Lord and did many things to see that he was properly worshipped and that his law was obeyed.
The Lord makes Solomon wise. Chapter 1. King Solomon, the son of David, was now in complete control of his kingdom, because the Lord God had blessed him and made him a powerful king. At that time, the sacred tent that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the desert was still kept at Gibeon, and in front of the tent was the bronze altar that Bezalel had made. One day Solomon told the people of Israel, the army commanders, the officials, and the family leaders, to go with him to the place of worship at Gibeon, even though his father, King David, had already moved the sacred chest from Kiriath-Jearim to the tent that he had set up for it in Jerusalem. Solomon and the others went to Gibeon to worship the Lord, and there at the bronze altar, Solomon offered 1,000 animals as sacrifices to please the Lord. God appeared to Solomon that night in a dream and said, "Solomon, ask for anything you want, and I will give it to you." Solomon answered, "Lord God, you were always loyal to my father David, and now you have made me king of Israel. I am supposed to rule these people, but there are as many of them as there are specks of dust on the ground. So keep the promise you made to my father and make me wise. Give me the knowledge I'll need to be the king of this great nation of yours." God replied, "Solomon, you could have asked me to make you rich or famous or to let you live a long time, or you could have asked for your enemies to be destroyed. Instead, you asked for wisdom and knowledge to rule my people. So I will make you wise and intelligent, but I will also make you richer and more famous than any king before or after you." Solomon then left Gibeon and returned to Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel. Solomon's wealth. Solomon had a force of 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses that he kept in Jerusalem and other towns. While Solomon was king of Israel, there was silver and gold everywhere in Jerusalem, and cedar was as common as ordinary sycamore trees in the foothills. Solomon's merchants bought his horses and chariots in the regions of Musri and Kui, They paid about 15 pounds of silver for a chariot and almost 4 pounds of silver for a horse. They also sold horses and chariots to the Hittite and Syrian kings. Solomon asks Hiram to help build the temple. Chapter 2. Solomon decided to build a temple where the Lord would be worshipped, and also to build a palace for himself. He assigned 70,000 men to carry building supplies, and 80,000 to cut stone from the hills. And he chose 3,600 men to supervise these workers. Solomon sent the following message to King Hiram of Tyre. Years ago, when my father, David, was building his palace, you supplied him with cedar logs. Now will you send me supplies? I am building a temple where the Lord my God will be worshipped. Sweet-smelling incense will be burned there, and sacred bread will be offered to him. Worshippers will offer sacrifices to the Lord every morning and evening, every Sabbath, and on the first day of each month, as well as during all our religious festivals. These things will be done for all time, just as the Lord has commanded. This will be a great temple, because our God is greater than all other gods. No one can ever build a temple large enough for God. Even the heavens are too small a place for him to live in. All I can do is build a place where we can offer sacrifices to him. Send me a worker who can not only carve, but who can work with gold, silver, bronze, and iron, as well as make brightly colored cloth. The person you send will work here in Judah and Jerusalem with the skilled workers that my father has already hired. I know that you have workers who are experts at cutting lumber in Lebanon. So would you please send me some cedar, pine, and juniper logs? My workers will be there to help them, because I'll need a lot of lumber.